So, a couple weeks ago, I was tiling our bathroom. I'm still tiling our bathroom. I'm learning how to tile our bathroom. I should say, this is the first time I've ever tiled. Learning from YouTube. As I'm going through it, I listen to music. I was listening to a song. This happens to be like the third time I've had a sermon now that is inspired by a Lauren Daigle song. I don't really know anything about Lauren Daigle personally. Even the song that kind of hit me, I'm not a huge fan of the song. But the chorus is simply, what have I done to deserve love like this? Already struggling. So it got me thinking about what is deserved. This is not something, for those of you that have been in this church for a long time or have been familiar with the truth for a long time, is something that you're going to be surprised to hear. But it can be confusing. So I'm going to go through it. What is deserved? This means different things to a lot of different people. Really, it means different things to two groups of people. First of all, when you think about the world, man, this world that we live in, this cursed place, how do they look at things as far as what they deserve when it comes to their relationship with God? The truth is, the world doesn't know anything about what it truly deserves. And it's not their fault. They haven't been shown what they truly deserve. So they're in a place where if they truly knew what they deserve, they would no longer be the world. They would be God's people. That's the first thing that happens. You're shown who you are. So this world that we live in constantly fights against that idea of them not deserving anything good. They very much believe that they do. Understanding your position with God isn't just important, it's absolutely necessary. It's essential. It's part of being given spiritual life, is to be shown that you need it. That your current position is spiritual death. But until you've shown that, you don't really know. In order for someone to receive salvation, they first need to be shown that they actually need salvation. Why would anyone turn to Christ if they truly didn't believe they need him? This is the state of the world. This is the world we live in. And it's not the current state. This has been the state of the world since Adam took a bite of the fruit. That is where we are. The world hates God. And that's not an overstatement. The world hates Christ. Because what God and Christ do is they shine a light on who they are. And they don't like that. The truth shines a light on what they really are and what they really deserve. So they fight it. They talk about what they think they deserve. I mean, think about how many times in life you've heard this. I mean, if you really think about it, you hear it all the time. Anytime you question what God is doing, you're questioning what you deserve. Natural disasters. Well, why would God do that to people? It's the exact same thing as saying those people didn't deserve that. Personally, if you're going through something difficult, physical pain, emotional pain, heart, just anything difficult in life, why am I going through this? Why is God doing this to me? That is the exact same thing as saying, I don't deserve this. I deserve better. We say it, and we know better, but we still say it. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but we are a being of two pieces. We have a soul, that God has, for his people, has loved since the beginning of creation, that part of you. That part has never changed and never will, and eventually will be set free from the other part of you. The part that you see. The part that you feel. The flesh. All of that someday will be set free. And that original soul, who you really, truly are, the part that God sees, will be set free. I got off on a tangent. But again, to question God is to say you deserve something other than what he has done. They look to themselves, the world, and they see hope in who they are. Well, if you look at what the Bible says about what we deserve, it's pretty clear. You can turn with me, if you'd like, to Romans. Well, actually, we'll just go right back to 3:23 that I read already. Romans 3:23, it's very simple. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's pretty black and white. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't go hand in hand with what the world is saying, with what our fleshly part is saying. Why is this happening? Why do I have to deal with this? Why did that innocent individual have to deal with whatever tragedy I'm talking about? That doesn't fit my narrative. That person didn't deserve that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It sounds harsh, but the truth is harsh. It's not meant to appeal to everyone, obviously. So, if all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, what does it say that sin deserves? Well, if you turn just a few pages to Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So if all have sinned, all deserve death. That's where we are without a Savior. That's where the world is. So if that's what the world feels about what they deserve, and that's what the Bible says about what we actually deserve, what about the believer? It really flips on its ear here. It does for me anyway. And I can't imagine I'm alone. But to be given spiritual life, it begins with the fall. Just like the gospel begins with the fall. You have to see who you are. Be shown who you are before you will ever cry out to Christ and say, I need a Savior. You have to look to yourself and see no hope to turn to the only hope. If you look to yourself and you still see some hope in yourself, why would you ever turn anywhere else? So quite the opposite of how the world sees things. We look at ourselves and see sin and shortcomings and failure and us getting wrapped up in this world and saying the things that I just got done talking about, like, wow, I don't deserve that. And we know better. So we see this and we see it as a failure. I know better than this. Yet I keep falling. And keep falling and keep falling. So while the world looks at themselves and sees a place of hope and sees a person that deserves better, we look at ourselves many times and see the opposite. How can I be saved? Both are wrong. Both are wrong. The world looking at themselves and seeing hope in themselves is wrong. A believer looking at themselves and seeing no hope is wrong, because they have hope. What's wrong about it is both of them are looking at themselves. Nothing good. Nothing good comes from looking inward. We have nothing to offer ourselves. We have nothing to offer God. What does looking at ourselves do for us besides put us in a bad place? Either on this side, where you lift yourself up a little bit, or on this side, where you beat yourself down. So, that's where we feel we deserve. How does God approach the topic of what is deserved? If God says sin deserves death, and everyone sins, what does God do about that? In the Old Testament, before Christ, the law was a very black and white thing. You get what you deserve. The law was a very good thing. Upholding the law is actually a wonderful thing. The problem is, none of us can do it. So did God see this problem and just say, you know what, I think I'm going to get rid of this law thing. It seems to be a problem if I want to save anybody. Not at all. That's not just. That's not true. God said the wages of sin are death. He's not going to change that. He doesn't go back on his word. Justice for sin must always be accomplished. So did God send Christ to this world to save his people by forfeiting the law? By showing up and saying, I think we're just going to get rid of that? No. You go to Matthew 5:17, it says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish, not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. We cannot fulfill the law. So Christ came to do exactly that. Christ did not come to change what is required for us to be spared of death. The law says, do all this or die. Christ came, did all of this, and died. Both as our substitute. Both doing it all and dying. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 5:21. You don't have to turn. I'm just going to read it. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what did Christ deserve? If we're going to talk about what is deserved, Christ lived perfectly. That is something we cannot understand. I'm sinning right now. I don't know how, but I'm sure I am. And I'm not boasting in that. I'm just saying we can't get away from it. The minute Adam sinned, we were bathed in sin forever. If we never sinned a day in our lives, it wouldn't matter. We were cursed then. Now, we do a really good job of adding to it. But that's where we are. Christ lived perfectly. He upheld the law perfectly. He was completely without sin. What did he deserve? He deserved every good thing. He deserved glory and praise. And he was given death and hell
He had everything taken away from him. To save those who deserved it. Who deserved death and hell and to have everything taken away from them. It makes no sense to my brain. Do we really want to talk about what we deserve? That's where this question came into my head when I'm tiling in my bathroom. What have you done to deserve a love like that? What have you contributed to deserve the reward of what Christ has done? What Christ has done has earned a reward for you. What have you done to deserve that? God forsook his own son. God punished his own son, his perfect son who he loved. He turned away from him, unleashed hell, wrath, and judgment on his own perfect son, anguish that I cannot describe. Why did he do this? Why did he put this unimaginable burden on the only one who didn't deserve it? To save the ones who did. He came as a conqueror, but not in the way we look at it. He didn't come to fight and battle and defeat our enemies. He came to let our enemies defeat him. To take what we deserve. What could you possibly do to deserve a love like that? Nothing we can do can equal what he has done. Nothing we can do. The greatest thing I could ever imagine doing. Can't even get close to what Christ has done. What can I do to deserve that? All you've done your entire life is give him more reasons to be punished. Think about that. That's a sobering thought. You've only added to the debt that he was forced to pay. Do we really want to talk about what we deserve? If God ran this world according to what we deserved, Christ would never have been on the cross and everyone would be in hell. But thank you so much. That is not the way things are. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He was perfect in every way and was punished as the most vile sinner to have ever lived. We are the most vile. There's nothing good in us. There is no one righteous, not even one, says that in Romans. And yet, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We go from a place that can't get worse instantly to a place that can't get better. All thanks to Christ, 100%. We had no hope. We now have the one hope that cannot fail. We can't see through the sins and shortcomings of our lives, so we look to Christ on the cross and see that that is enough for me. It's a heavy burden on us sometimes to deal with how we feel and all this crud that we pile on ourselves throughout our lives. Look to the cross. See that picture. That is enough for me. No matter how high our mountain of sin, no matter how deep our pit, we can look to cross, to Christ on the cross and cry, that is greater. That is higher. That is more than enough. We no longer ever have to be bothered with what we deserve. Ever again. Because we have grace. The unending, immeasurable grace of God, so much greater than our sin. Grace is such a beautiful word because it can't be deserved. We talk about what we deserve. The definition of grace is unmerited favor. It literally means favor that is not deserved. We never again need to be concerned with what we deserve. Not for one second of the rest of our lives. If you really want to think about what is deserved, think about the good things that Christ deserves in the eyes of his Father who loves him. Unending blessings that Christ deserves. God would withhold no good thing for him. And now realize that is now what we deserve. Because we're in him. He's earned that for us. He's paid for that for us. We go from deserving no good thing to deserving all good things. He took what we deserve and gave us what he deserves. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Romans 5:20, the law was brought in so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Earlier I referenced what the Bible says about what is deserved. I referenced a couple scriptures. I'm going to go back to them really quickly, and then I'm going to close up here. Romans 3:23, I mentioned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is what God says about what is deserved. Let me read the rest of that line. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We're not the brightest. I'm not the brightest. So he makes it very clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Same sentence, not even a period in between. Also, I read, for the wages of sin are death. I read that earlier. The rest of that verse, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Stop looking at yourself for goodness. Stop looking at yourself for negative reasons. You won't find anything good. Stop looking at yourself and your sin. It doesn't do you any good. Just stop looking at yourself. To put it simply, What Christ has done is so much greater than whatever you have done. And that goes both positive and negative. That's the beauty of this. We can't change it. We didn't make it happen. If we did nothing to deserve the love that was shown to us on the cross, if we did nothing to earn that, we had nothing to do with it, then nothing we can do can undo it. It was put in place by Christ. We can't change that. That is a wonderful truth. So again, you look at yourself, you see hope, or you see absolute lack of, knock it off. Either one. Christ is greater. What Christ has done is greater than anything you can do, good or bad.